I'm sure most of y'all know what's happened in our world. Great news. Roe v. Wade got overturned, but I believe that I'm obligated as a minister, and I think this is a mistake the church has made for far too long. I think we tried to leave all that out the door, and we need to bring it inside and talk about it and discuss it and bring it in from a scriptural perspective. I'm all right to be talking about this because I know some of the stuff that I'm talking about, so we're going to get into that, but before we do that, I was so excited about today because I had a visitation from the Lord on Friday night, and I was all prepared to talk about some stuff, and maybe I'll get to fit it in because I was feeling sorry for myself on Friday. Anybody ever feel sorry for yourself? No, none of us. We're all, no. You ever feel sorry? And anyway, boy, I tell you, the Lord, He is so good, and He's so smart. Did you know that about God, that He's smart? Anyway, He showed me some things and told me some things, and by the time He showed and told me these things, I'd gotten all happy. But I need to talk about this Roe v. Wade thing, and maybe we'll incorporate all of it together. We're coming to the end on Facebook with what we've been doing about our truth. Have you been epistle-lighted? Have you been epistle-lighted? I'm going to get done. Tuesday will be the last book, Jude, that I'll put up on Tuesday, and we have gone through all the epistles. And I got to tell you, it has been very, very interesting. And I got to tell you something else, too. It's fascinating for me because I haven't spent, and I don't think that any of the rest of you have, and it's kind of interesting, I haven't spent a great deal of time reading 2 John, 3 John, or Jude because it's only one chapter of all of them. And you'd think that'd be the one we'd go read just to say, Lord, I read the Bible today. I read the Bible today. I did my Bible reading today. I always like kids, you'd have them memorize a verse and they'd memorize John chapter 11, I think it's around verse 36, Jesus wept. That's going to be coming to an end on Facebook, but in our own individual Bible study time, y'all know I haven't even got past 2 Corinthians yet, and you know how hard it is for me to stay on track about something, so we may move around and do some things, and what I'm going to do in the future, I'm going to give everybody a little break for the 4th of July, and the next thing I'm going to do is go chapter by chapter in the Gospel of John. I'm going to do that next. So we're going to keep doing that. But anyway, I was outside Friday. I'd gotten up from watching that television, that God-forsaken TV, amen, with that cell phone, and I went outside and I was feeling sorry for myself. And I'm going to tell you this part of the conversation that the Lord had with me, and then maybe I can tell you the rest, because we do have to talk about what's going on in our world with Roe v. Wade, because it's going to get bad, and we need to know how it's going to affect us as Christians and what our job is as Christians. But anyway, I'm out there. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm thinking, you know, I haven't really done much, and I haven't been that effective and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord, one of the things the Lord said to me, He said, of all the things that you've done, of all the things that you've done relative to me and Christianity, this thing you've done on Facebook has made the devil the most mad. And I thought, man, I like that. I said, yeah, he said, it's ticked him off. He said, because you see, the thing is, these verses, people can see them, and then people that see them will share them on their post, and it'll go from all your friends to their friends and their friends and their friends, and he's just distraught because he can never stop God's word. So that made me feel good, and then he showed me some other things, and I want to share it, and I know I'm going to share it, but if you've been under a rock, and I talked to a guy the other day that I went out and got to play golf on Friday, and he said he had COVID. He never went to the doctor, but he said he must have had COVID because he said he slept 20 hours the day before and woke up fine. So unless you've been sleeping for 24 to 36 hours and you don't know, the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. That was the law of the land since, listen to this, 1973. And since that time, listen to me, since that time, 63 million babies, 63 million people have been killed by abortion. 63 million. Now, they won't tell you that, but that's the truth. So anyway, I think what I'm going to do is share with you what I posted on Facebook and then go from there. But maybe we ought to put a Bible verse up before we even start, because I'm not sure I'm going to get any Bible verses up. Let's go this way and we'll see how it plays out. All right, so here was my response. And if you follow me on Facebook, you know that I'm pretty faithful about putting stuff up from the viewpoint, listen very carefully to me now, from the viewpoint of a conservative Christian. I want to say some things and I want to be genuine about it, and I know I'm going to make some people mad this morning on both sides of the aisle. I know I am, because I'm going to have to criticize some things that I know some people hold dear. But I want everybody to hear that I try to present on Facebook the viewpoint of what a conservative Christian believes and thinks. And I mean this sincerely. I am not tied to a Democrat or a Republican. I'm looking for a conservative. The reason why I've never voted Democratic since I've been born again is because the Democratic Party has not put forward a candidate that's in line with my conservative principles. That's all there is to it. I'm telling you, if this guy from West Virginia, this Joe Manchin, is that his name, Manchin? If he ran for president and he laid out conservative principles and conservative thought, I would very seriously consider voting for him, especially if it came between him and a guy like Mitt Romney, who is nothing but a Republican in name only. So I know people listen to me and they think that I'm in bed with the Republican Party, but the only reason why I'm aligned with the Republican Party the way I am is because the Republican Party still has a platform that aligns with Christian values. See, I know what I'm talking about here. You're not being taught this morning by somebody that doesn't stay in tune and doesn't know these things. I've been following this most of my adult life. And so that's the only reason why I voted Republican, is because the Republican platform still believes in the sanctity of life. They still believe in trying to limit the amount of government that we have. The government in its history hasn't solved anything. It's only made things worse, because human nature kicks in. Anytime you try to solve problems by giving money to certain people and then expecting them to disperse it fairly, you set yourself up for failure, because greed kicks in, stinginess kicks in, and so the best way for people to prosper is to be self-reliant. Don't shout me down. I hope you're listening to my radio and internet this morning. And supposedly, I'm going to kind of go all in and out because if things come into my head, you know, the last poll that's been put out says 39% of America still approves of the job Joe Biden's doing. What's wrong with that 39%? Have you gone to the gas pump? Have you gone to the grocery store? Have you watched him on TV? Have you seen where they had to give him a little cheat card to tell him when to sit, stand, and leave? I was going to see if I could get Donnie to print that out for me and show that up here on Facebook. They found that he was sitting on it, and he's so senile that he showed it publicly to everybody, and it says on there, sit, stand, leave, don't answer questions, go. I mean, and 39% of people want that guy to be running our country with the responsibility that that entails, what's going on, what can happen. So anyway, here was my response, and here's what I said on Facebook. And again, the other thing that's so frustrating is it's the same 9 or 10 of us that push like. See, some people scared to say anything about it because they don't want to identify themselves with being aligned with me. See, that's true with all the Christian stuff, too. We got former church members that don't want to align with us. They ought to align with us. We're telling people about Jesus. We're telling people about the Bible. Amen. I saw Joe Biden read from the teleprompter, and how many of us ever watched that horrid thing? He's got to stay completely focused on the cue card. You know, they've actually made him a fake White House office. You can't make this up. The sad part about it is that these people lie And then they don't even care that they lied. They'll start telling you they didn't lie. Right. They told you all through the presidential election, all through everything that was going on, all they wanted to do was defund the police. And now they tell you they never said anything about defunding the police, even though it's on tape. You know what they bank on? They bank on the stupidity of the American people. And that's the saddest part about the Christian church, is we've been stupid for so many years. We've let things go. And because we let things go, we let demon-possessed people take over our nation. And that's the reason why June is Pride Month. Pride Month. Taking pride in the fact that you don't know what gender you are. Taking pride in the fact that you're drawn more to your own sex than you are to the other sex. And that's all that's anti-Bible. All that's anti-God. And that's why I can't get on board with any Democratic candidate that wants to get me to vote for them as long as they believe in that platform. So he was reading from the teleprompter, because you also know this, you know that he's not in charge, right? Y'all know that. He wasn't in charge at the very beginning. He wasn't even going to win. He had no chance. He was defeated by a man named Bernie Sanders. But Bernie Sanders is a socialist. And socialism is demonic. Socialism doesn't work. Making it fair for everybody means you only make it fair for a few. Write that down. Making it fair for everybody means you only make it fair for a few. Let people keep their money and let them be self-reliant and let them be entrepreneurs. So anyway, he was actually the person that was winning all the primaries and that was going to be put forward, and they knew they couldn't win because what you have to do, I'm going to get ahead of myself, what you have to do to win a presidential election is you have to appeal to the moderates. We call them moderates, but that's who you have to appeal to. That's what they knew they couldn't do, so they had a meeting and they said, Joe, we'll promote you, we'll put you up, all you got to do is stay in a basement. We'll promote this COVID-19 thing, make it way worse than it is. We'll shut everything down. It'll be an opportunity for us to come up with 81 million votes for you. If you believe he got 81 million votes, I've got some land in Louisiana I'd like to get rid of. And that's what they did. And they got him elected. But they told him, now we're going to get you elected, but when you get elected, you're going to do what Bernie Sanders really wants to do, and that's get rid of fossil fuels and turn everything over to the climate control idiots, not knowing that God made everything, and he made everything so we could survive the way everything is. Are you listening to me? And that's why your gas is $5, $6 a gallon. And again, the other thing that fascinates me, I mean, you know, God forgive me, but last night, for some unknown reason, I sit down and watch the San Francisco Giants play the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, if you sit down and watch the Cincinnati Reds, you're asking somebody to punish you. But I did for a few minutes, and it was in San Francisco, and that place had 40,000 people in it, and they got to the ballpark by driving their cars on $7 gas. I don't know what's wrong with people. I don't know where they're getting the money. And that's why I'm still concerned, and that's why I'm going to go this direction with the sermon. And if I don't get this read, I may never get it read. So he read from the teleprompter, because this is what somebody wrote down for him, and he recited the left's talking points regarding Roe v. Wade being overturned. He made sure, listen to this is really important. He made sure to bring up the point that three of the justices were appointed by President Trump. See, they always want to make sure that you're aware that Trump's behind the scenes pulling the strings, because they always want to get the moderates, the soccer moms, to identify with the fact that that evil Donald Trump could be your president again. Not recognizing that it took courage for him to appoint these people to get the job done. Now, a couple of things I want to say. I see that Trump came out with a tweet and he did the Trump thing and praised himself. Now, let me say it and let me get it out here and let me say it. I want him to go away. I want him to go away. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for the courage you had to stand up against the evil demonic left. But go away. Let Ron DeSantis be the president of the United States. Let somebody with some courage, with some conviction, with some humility, let them run for office, because the American people, the majority of the American people, they don't want extremism on either side. Are y'all okay with me talking like this? This is the most important thing that's come across in maybe my lifetime, and it's going to get violent. And again, as things come into my head, I'm just going to say them. How many of you have heard of this lady named Maxine Waters from California, black woman from California? If she was a white woman, if she was a Republican white woman, she would be arrested and put in solitary confinement, just like some of those people that all they did was march around on January the 6th. They're still in solitary confinement in prisons in this country, because the country's ran by the media, and the country is ran by the radical satanic left. Trump put out his tweet and said, "This wouldn't have happened except for me." Well, good, 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 Donald. Now go to Mar-a-Lago and live on your billions. Let history rewrite what happened, and let history appraise you. But let's don't go through that anymore. It gives the left enough ammunition to scare soccer moms, and soccer moms are who you have to convince to vote for you to win. Because there's a certain segment of the population that's going to vote a certain way. People in New York and California are going to vote Democrat. People in the South, except for Georgia, I don't know what happened to Georgia, but people in the South, except for Georgia, are going to vote for conservative values and conservative principles. It's the part in between. Texas concerns me. And then our great state concerns me. They had to tear gas the Capitol the other day and move people away because of demonstrations, because we've got people coming in from California, Oregon, and Washington that want to get away from what's going on politically or financially in those states, but they're still believing in the values that those morons promote. So I'm not going to sell you my house unless you tell me that you're a conservative. Amen. And it's still amazing to me how many people are out there that really hate everything I'm saying so far. They hate it. But it's primarily because they hate God. They don't want anybody to hold them to any kind of standard. And that's really what abortion is about. Abortion is protecting people that couldn't protect themselves. So let me say it again. He made sure to bring up the point that three of the justices were appointed by President Trump. That's all this thing is about this January the 6th. All it is to keep it in the media, keep it in the news, keep people aware of the fact that Trump may or may not have done some of this stuff. And most everything they ever try to pin on him, it finds out it's not true anyway. I want to be fair to him. I want to be accurate with him. I want to tell people that generally speaking, I appreciate all the things that he did. But his ego is so overinflated, and he has no way of pulling back. If he'd had enough of an ego to pull back and not been such a moron in that first debate, I don't think he'd have lost the presidency anyway. But he was terrible in that first debate, just terrible. That's all there was to it. I say thank God that we had a man in office that was looking out for the life of the unborn. Can I get an amen? I know we are in the minority in protecting the unborn. You got to know something. Most people, 62% of this country is pro-choice. And of course, what it really is pro-death. And the reason that they're pro-choice is the way the left has framed it, as though the government is going to take away. Ladies, 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 listen to me, ladies, ladies, soccer moms, driving in your Honda Odyssey vans, taking your kids to soccer in Little League. This is who we got to keep explaining things to you. The guy's going to answer this, and that'll lead me to the next part of this. But see, those are the people that we're concerned about. Moderate people don't want extremism on either side. I got time, I'll throw it in. I'll never forget when Bill Clinton was president, you had to say to get elected that marriage was between a man and a woman. You had to say it. You had to say it because the values in our nation were still such that most people felt that the proper way to conduct yourself sexually was with a male and a female. And then, of course, in the Christian culture, in the confines of the sacrament of holy matrimony. I'm getting all holy matrimony on you. And thou shalt love her all thy life until death do you part. Amen? And so you had to say that. And then Barack Obama came along. By the way, a black man, a dark-skinned man. You know, we're a systematic racist in America, but yet twice in our history, we elected a man of African-American lineage, or, you know, black, whatever. I'm scared to say how you're supposed to say it, because, you know, probably didn't say it right. But anyway, he comes along, and when he came along in his first term, he had to say in a debate or being questioned, he had to say that marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, his second term, guess what? He stood up and announced that he believed in the right of same-sex marriage. And I told Teresa, I said, honey, that means that the pulse of the country has changed, and he can say that now because the majority of the people agree with him. Because politicians only say what they need to say to get elected. Have you noticed now that the Democrats are saying they're all for the police? God bless the blue. They didn't say that when they were wiping out Seattle, Washington, and Portland, Oregon, and Minneapolis. And again, it doesn't even matter that it's recorded and that you can go back and show a recording of them saying it. They still deny it. So from that time on, of course, gay rights became prevalent. And I told Teresa, here's what's going to happen. You're going to see men on TV and in the movies kissing. And I said, God help us all. I don't want to watch it. And lo and behold, that's what you see now. Amen. Why are we in the minority? Because the way they framed the abortion debate is that we're taking away a woman's right to do whatever she wants to with her body. How many of you know that sounds pretty darn good? The problem is that what that woman has in her womb is a living, breathing human being. And there are certain things you don't have a right to do, and one of those things is terminate the life of another person. And I'm not going to stand up here and debate all that. We're not going to talk about the fact that when does a person become a person? Anybody that's gone through pregnancy, the man and the woman, anybody that's gone through it, you know that there's somebody in that womb that's living and breathing. John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth when Mary came into the house and the baby leapt in her womb, because John the Baptist knew that the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ had come into his presence. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I have laid with Teresa right up before she's about ready to give birth, and she's put her stomach behind my back, and that Anna kicked me and Jordan's kicked me and they're still kicking me. And I'll never forget when Anna was born. Oh, what a she come out. Boy, she come out mad and angry. I think there's a term that what happened to her. What's it called? My macronium got in her mouth, and I don't think it's ever left. And I mean, she come out and she was wailing, man. And I'm like, man, I don't blame you. I just saw what happened. I'd be wailing too. I said, if I was in the house by myself, I'd wail with you. My God, what'd they do to my wife? And what happened to her? But I swear I'll never forget as long as I live. And by the way, there's a Christian comedian, the black guy, real funny black guy comedian. What's his name? Mike. Got one name, don't he? Isn't his name Mike? If you've never seen him on YouTube, YouTube me. He is hilarious. He had the same thing happen to him. Anyway, she come out, and they had to get all that stuff out of her, and they were, you know, using all that stuff to get her out. And they took her into another room all by herself. And she was just, blood curdling. Worse than Marley's bark. And that bark will make you go nuts too. Anyway, I walked into the room and here she is. Whoa! And I said, Anna, what's wrong? And all of a sudden she went, because she'd heard, she knew me. She'd heard me talking. And for about, I'll give her 10 seconds. She said, I know him. She said, I don't care. My point is, and you know they want to be able to terminate a pregnancy at the moment of conception, at that moment. That's murder. I don't care how the baby got there. Anyway, I don't want to make it about that. We know what we know our position. I know we are in the minority and protecting the unborn, but sometimes you have to stand up against the majority and do what is right. Can I get an amen? The left will make this political, but killing, and I had to put this word in here because I left it out, and I'm led of the Lord to do this. I first just put killing human beings is not acceptable, but sometimes it is acceptable to kill a human being. You know it was perfectly acceptable to kill Adolf Hitler? Do you know it's perfectly acceptable to kill people under certain circumstances? But it's never acceptable to kill an innocent human being. And we can't promote legislation that does it. That's all there is to it. And so, through the grace of God, and because elections matter, we were able to get conservative Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court that understand the sanctity of life, and they overturned Roe v. Wade. And the left is screaming mad about it. Ooh, they're mad. And they're upset. And there's something that concerns me about it is that they are so upset that it may make a difference come this November and the next presidential election. Because after I posted this, a dear friend of mine, a dear Baptist friend, gave me this answer. And I want you to hear this. And I apologize if you came to church wanting a Bible lesson. I'm going to give you one again. I promise I've got something I want to share with you. But how many of you agree this has to be talked about? It has to get said. Most of the churches in America today are scared to say anything. We've been put in a position by God to be able to say whatever we need to say. And it's obvious that most people don't like what we say based on attendance only. But the Lord did share these things with me and show me that this church started 25 years ago on September 22nd, 1996. It'll be 26 years in September. A lot of people don't know this. I told you I thought I could get both these things in a little bit. But after he told me that all this stuff we've been posting on Facebook's made the devil madder than anything we've done, he then began to show me how he has supernaturally done everything he could to try to promote what it is we've done. He showed me that because I was like, man, is it even worth it? And he reminded me that 25 years ago, more than 25 years ago, I had gotten in my car leaving another church. And I had gotten in my car leaving another church, and I wasn't fasting and praying. I was doing what I probably do best. I was complaining. I was complaining about the church I just left. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand. This was not some moment of not eating for 7 days, and the Spirit of God spoke and said, Mark, I hear you. Go have a chocolate milkshake. No, I'm complaining. And in my heart, or I don't know how it works, but it was so clear to me. In the car, on my way back to my house, the Lord spoke in my heart and said, you're going to go home today, and you're going to look in the classifieds in the Sierra Vista Herald, because the only newspaper I got at that time was the Sunday edition of the Herald. And many of you remember the day when you know the newspaper meant something. You didn't have your iPhone. You couldn't check everything instantly. And so I always subscribed to the Sunday paper. He said, when you go home You're going to go to the Sierra Vista Herald Classifieds, and you're going to see an ad for a church to rent. And he said, I want you to rent it, and I want you to start a church. Now, all I can do is tell you what God said and what I heard. Did it make any sense? Probably not. Was I fasting and praying? No. Was I complaining? Yes. Did I hear God say that? Yes. I drive up into the driveway. I run to the porch and get the paper off the porch. And I open up the classifieds. And all I see is an ad that says, former church available to rent, call so-and-so. I called him on the phone because I figured that's the only one. And you know, the Lord, I did not hear the word former church. It said there's an ad in the paper for a church. I want you to rent it. I called the guy on the phone. I said, I'm Mark Browning, blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm interested in renting that building. He said, what do you want to do? Never will forget. He said, what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to start a church. He said, nah, oh, no, no. I'm tired of church folk. They don't pay their rent. I'm not making a word of this up. I'm just sharing this with you. I want to share this with you because this thing started with God somehow involved. Was what I was doing plan A? Probably not. Is anybody out there living under plan A? If you are, you're lying. He said, no, I don't want to rent to a church. He said, they burn me. He said, I don't get my money. I said, I guarantee you, you'll get paid if you let me rent the church. Anyway, long story short, went up and saw the building. I put $3,000 in carpet, and we had I knew a guy that, what's the stuff you put around the carpet, the molding or whatever that is, baseboard and all that. And September 22nd, 1996, we started Life in Christ Church. Had 40 people in it. I preached a sermon about Hebrews 10:22. Let's put that up for a verse. Let's put a verse up, Hebrews 10:22. I'm coming back to this. I put this verse up, Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near. I put this verse up. Let us draw near. My very first sermon as a pastor at Life in Christ Church. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I was trying to get people to understand that you could come to God and you could get something from God because God was a rewarder of those that diligently sought Him. I was trying to get people to understand that all this doubt and unbelief we'd listened to for thousands of years had robbed the church of any power. And 40 people came the first service. 20 of them were women that thought I might be available. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good, but the anointing of God was on me. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I went like this during the sermon and during the end of the service, and I went like this, and a wave of God's glory went across that whole church, and people just all kind of went, whoo. The next Sunday, 12 people came back. 12 brave souls. 4 of them were kin to me. And it was a struggle. But we, you know what? We built a church up. We built a church. We hooked in with some praise and worship people. We built a church. And we finally moved over to a metal building on 102 North 2nd Street. I'm going to get them both in. I don't care. I'm going to get them both in. I got to. I'm not going to see y'all again until the 10th by Zoom. We moved over here to a metal building. Some lady came to church. Gray-headed lady came to church. And full disclosure, a fellow by the name of Todd Poor. Anybody ever heard of Todd Poor? Know about Todd Poor? Loved the Lord, had an anointing on him. And he, I don't know how it was, but he was ministering. She got drunk in the spirit. They had to take her out to the car and help her to her car. That's cool, isn't it? Anyway, she kept coming to church. And I had some of my own occurrences with her. She ended up in a hospital. Well, two stories. I found out she had lung cancer. And I went to help her to take her to chemotherapy once to a doctor. Never will forget. And I went to pick her up. She lived out here by the golf course, the house that we ended up getting. She left it to us right off the 6 tee box. Went to pick her up at the golf course at her house. She got in the car, and she lit up a cigarette. We're on our way to the doctor for chemotherapy for lung cancer. You can't make any of this up. You can't. I wish you could, but you can't. Well, actually, I'm glad you don't make it up. And she said, she looked at me, she said, and I don't want to hear a thing in the world about me smoking. I said, honey, Smoke them if you got them, but roll that window down. That was one event I had with her. And then she got real sick and was close to dying, and nobody had been to see her for a while. And I went out to the hospital to see her, and they had brought some food, and they had put it on a tray, and she just wasn't physically able to eat it. And I fed her, and she was starving to death. I fed her that food. I remember she looked at me like, "Oh man, I'm glad you showed up." Anyway, I didn't know nothing. She dies. We all die. She dies, and Al knocks on our door. Knocks on our door and said, "Janice has died." But she said, "He said I want you to know she's left half of her stuff to y'all, to the church." And he said, "But it'll be a challenge for you because our daughter don't like it." Anyway, long story short, she left us $400,000. We were able to take that $400,000 and pay off this land that I had bought, thinking that in the future we might be able to have a church. I had bought it. The church was making the payment on it, but we were able to pay the land off here that we'd bought and make enough of a down payment that Stockman's Bank, that's what it was at the time, gave us $619,000 to build a church. We were $200,000 short, and I had to go out and find $200,000 from some friends of mine. I've got some good friends. Of course, they wanted interest. They weren't, you know, that great a friend, but they wanted interest. And so me and Teresa, Brian, I think, was in Iraq and in the Army. He didn't have a whole lot to do with this. If he'd have been around like he is now, he'd have helped us. But bottom line, it was basically me and Teresa that got this done. Our praise and worship people didn't lift a finger. None of the people did. It was us, and it was our responsibility. And that's why the final payment on this thing is, I'm perfectly, with a clear conscience, cool with the fact that we are in line to get the money because the building's here because of us. Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching real good. If I hadn't have been a CPA and had the resources, we'd have never come up with that $200,000. And even after that, they weren't going to let me move into the building even after that, because the guy came over here and he said, "You need to do $75,000 worth of landscaping." I said, "For the love of God, let me go buy some trees and we'll plant them ourselves." So all these trees around here got planted by us. And that is one thing that the congregation pitched in to do. You remember that? We planted all the trees, and look at what they've done now. And that's another thing. People look at those trees and think they've been here forever. They've only been here 25 years. Don't shout me down now, Jerry. Well, anyway, we had two church splits. Two church splits. One caught me completely off guard because I thought the people were on board and loved me. Found out the woman didn't know like nothing we were saying, didn't believe in nothing we were saying, and it caught me completely off guard. The second one I helped promote because I knew it was all fake and phony and it wasn't going to work, and I put an end to it. And we got down to hardly nothing. Remember one Sunday, we had two services because we were bold. I remember one Sunday, one of our first services, anyway, long story short, I come in here one Friday. I used to have to come over here one Friday. And I'm standing over there by where James is, and I'm walking out the door, and the Lord speaks in my heart and says, "This building's being wasted." I'm just trying to show you some supernatural things, and we're going to get back to Roe v. Wade. God spoke to me on Friday, and bless God, you're going to hear about it. He told me we made the devil mad about doing all this on Facebook, so we're going to keep doing that on Facebook. So he said, "This building's being wasted." We were here for like 2 hours on a Sunday morning. That was it. Nobody was doing anything. Me and Brian always had to come over and let the pest control people in, the landscaper in, the plumber in, or whatever. But nobody else did anything about it, just us. And nobody, he said, "It's being wasted." I called an emergency board meeting. I think I took everybody to Popeye's Chicken. That's the only way I could get them to go. Oh, I miss old Popeye. And I said, "The Lord's told me this thing's being wasted. Let's rent it." That was on a Friday. That must have been on a Sunday. I went to my office on Monday morning. God is my witness. Just like he told me that there's going to be a classified ad in the paper. God is my witness. As I'm writing the ad to take over to the Herald, Whitney says there's a man on the phone. He's a local minister here in town. I won't say his name. He wants to talk to you. I said, "Hey, this is Mark. What's going on?" He said, "Hey, you know anything about any buildings being available? We're renting a place out at Country Estates Baptist Church, but we're looking for our own place." I said, "You know, I do know one." Anyway, him and the other guy, Norm, a great guy, good guy, he comes over here, they look at the church, and lo and behold, this minister just weeps like a baby. We've answered his prayer.
And we gave them, we didn't know it then, I didn't know it, I'm green as grass. I gave them the greatest deal in the history of mankind for $2,500. They didn't have to do anything but show up. And they had full access to the building except for us 2 hours on Sunday morning. So we're responsible for that church. Are you listening to me? And they believe the Bible. Do they believe it like I do? No, but they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they believe you have to believe in Him to go to heaven. This next deal, I don't have any kind of supernatural up front. Nothing supernatural going on up front. Three ladies call me and say they need to talk to me about some project they're doing, about something, and they're sitting in the church in front of me. And what they were talking about was real simple stuff. I solved it for them or told them it was real easy. And they were going to a church that I knew was in the middle of a church split because I knew both sides of the story. And they said that they were desperately in need of a building. I never, ever manipulated anything. I never thought anything. I simply made a statement out of my mouth out of pure truth. All I said to them was, I think I'm probably on a 5-year plan. I said, we're going to do this at least 5 more years. And after that, I don't really know what we're going to do. But at least for 5 more years, I'm going to keep teaching the Bible, and we're renting to another church, and everything's beautiful. Next thing I know it, about 2 o'clock that afternoon, this guy calls me and says, you know, would you be interested in at least letting us look at the church? And I said, you can look at it, but I said, nothing that I know about it being for sale, and we're renting to another church. Anyway, I pull up over here, and there's 40 people waiting for me, and blah, 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 blah. Next time we meet, there's the same 40 people, but this time I got my board with me. And they end up buying this facility. And they take all the financial pressure off of us. And we still do what we've been doing. We were doing the same thing we're doing now. The only thing we had to do is back it up a half hour. Mary, I'm sorry about that, but we had to back it up a half hour. And they became a full-service church. And, buddy, let me tell you, they are a full-service church. They got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can get breakfast, lunch, or dinner here. You can get anything you want. Every Sunday, there's something new been put in the bathrooms. They got vacation Bible school. They got praise and worship. They got youth. They got old people get-togethers. They got it all. And do you know we're responsible or we're helping that go because we sold them the building? The Lord said, son, I've done as much as I can do to keep it going, to help you. And he says, basically, bottom line, you're doing what it is I've called you to do. You have no financial burden anymore. Every donation that comes in, virtually all of it is able to be given away. And the person that you care the most about, the ministry you want to promote the most, you're giving that guy $2,000 a month. I'd say that's pretty good. I said, forgive me, Lord, once again for being stupid. We've been effective. We've done some things. We've caused some things to go on only because we stayed committed to what it is we needed to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. Did I get that in there for you? Did it overwhelm you like it overwhelmed me? Are you going to get slain in the spirit? Do you understand that God's for us, that God's helping us, that God's with us? So anyway, this man responds back about Roe v. Wade and says, look, I got a verse in too. Here's what he says to me. I think people are a little more concerned about the price of gas and a loaf of bread than they are about abortion. It's polling about 15% as a midterm election issue. Primarily, I agree with him. But give these people enough time and they'll dissuade enough people that I'm concerned that it's going to be an issue that's going to cause much trouble for us. I think we're going to be fine on the midterms. I think we're going to see an overwhelming majority of the seats in the House go Republican. There's even a possibility that we'll take control of the Senate. The thing that concerns me the most is November of 2024. Because again, in November of 2024, the nation votes collectively, and to win the election collectively, you gotta appeal to the moderate. And I'm concerned that they're gonna have enough time. By the way, this thing was leaked on purpose. They wanted people to know about this on purpose because they cannot win based on real issues. And I agree with this gentleman to the utmost that people now, I mean, listen, I make a good living. But I decide right now, there's some things that I've decided right now I may not do because of gas. And I remember one thing I want to point out to you. When I left the D-backs game on Wednesday, I felt like somebody had run over me with a truck. But I walked by faith and not by sight. But I remember when I left that D-backs game to come home, how many of you know I've told you before that it's bumper-to-bumper traffic from Phoenix all the way to Sierra Vista? I remember the day that when you got on the interstate here on up to I-10 here, you could put your car in cruise control till you got to Houghton Road. Remember that? You can't do that anymore. But you know what I noticed on my way back from that D-backs game? Minimal traffic. Minimal traffic, because I tell you, it's starting to affect people and what they do. We just filled up Jordan's truck. Jordan, are you listening? Wave if you're listening. We just filled his truck that he got back yesterday. Glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Friday, whenever he got it, $77. Can you say job? Amen. And I know my grocery bill's up at least $100-$200 from what it used to be. And the sad part about it, the funny thing about it, is they're not moving off of it. Because here's what bothers me. I do not believe. Here's what I told him. I agree, but the left does a great job of painting conservative Christians as extremists. See, we're extremists because we don't want people to cut off their body parts. See, we're extremists because we do want marriage to be between a man and a woman. We're extremists because we don't want you to kill babies in their mother's womb. You listening to me? Oh, and you see soccer moms, and there's another brand of Christianity in our country. We are not in the majority anymore. Bible believing, Bible living, Bible promoting Christians are no longer the majority. What is the majority in our country relative to Christianity is a thing called progressive Christianity, and I would propose to you that it's not really Christianity at all. Because what they want to hang on to, they like the part of Christianity that talks about being nice and being good to your fellow man and loving others the way they are, just the way you are. That's okay. It's okay. If you want to be that way, that's okay. Well, we love you, but we're not going to give you the okay to act contrary to what God says is acceptable. And they've moved away from that, and there's more of them than us. And if you don't believe that, you're living under a rock. I teach the Bible. I've been gifted by God to teach the Bible. I've been gifted by God to look at the Scriptures and to be able to illuminate it to people. And I'm telling you, vast majorities of people look back at me with a stare blank. The reason why I'm saying that is because people are not connecting to the Bible the way we used to connect to it. If the Bible said it, that settled it. Now, if our emotions say it, if our feelings say it, if it's something we want to do, then we make it happen, regardless of what the Bible says. Can I get an amen? Amen. So my concern is that between now and November the 24th, because listen to me, I will prophesy and tell you this, there's no way Joe Biden's going to run for a second term. They already know that. They already planned that. That's the reason why you could get gas down tomorrow if you just open up the pipelines in America. See? And if he was really and truly concerned about a second term, he'd do whatever he needed to do to get elected, because that's what they want. But they know they've got something. They've got something on the horizon. They've got a surprise on the horizon that they're going to promote, that the middle America is going to be able to go along with. And then they're going to try their best to try to get them to understand that if you vote for this other guy, you're voting for Trump. Let's don't do that. Let's do like we did in Virginia when that governor beat that yahoo that was a Bill Clinton apologist. And he beat him because he ran on conservative principles, because he ran on the fact that America no longer wants to be extremist when it comes to what we tell our children about sex, what we allow our schools to teach our kids, where we allow our people to not even use pronouns to describe us. We're no longer he's or she's, we're they's. No, I'm a he and you're a she. Me, Tarzan, you, Jane. Hallelujah. Now, I know that in my house, really, she's Tarzan and I'm Jane, but nobody needs to know that. Please don't, please. I know. Do you understand I needed to take the time to say these things and talk about these things? You understand it? You understand because we didn't talk about these things? So listen to me. We got to keep telling people the right information. And here's the thing I think we got going for us. And here's what I think we got going for us. I think that what happens on both sides of the aisle, the extremist on the left and the extremist on the right, I think we overplay our hand. And I genuinely and sincerely believe, and I pray this, I genuinely and sincerely believe that the left has overplayed their hand. And there's more people now that say, wait a minute, I don't want to pay $6, $5 for gas. You know, I want to know, I want my kids to go to school and just be taught reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's not the job of the school teacher to teach my children theology or philosophy. That's my job. Oh, by the way, let me tell you what Arizona just passed while they were dodging smoke bombs last night or Friday or whenever it was. You know what they just passed? They're going to allow any person to go to a private school, and Arizona is going to pay for it. So let me tell you something, folks. If you don't take advantage of that, that's on you. They're going to let any person that wants to go to a private school, they're going to pay for it so you can go to a private school and get a private education. Amen. There's things out there. You just got to go find them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So here's what I think. I think that we're going to win the midterms because things are so bizarre. And I think we'll even win the November election. I don't want it to be Donald Trump. I want it to be somebody like Donald Trump in that they're an outsider, in that they know something about business, in that they put America first. See? Oh, man. This lady that's leading, this Republican that's leading this January 6th thing, her daddy was Dick Cheney, and he's the one that got us involved in Iraq because they had weapons of mass destruction. How quickly we forget. If my kids or any of your kids are going to go to war and die, they need to go to war and die because they're protecting the United States of America legitimately. So I want somebody that wants America first. I want somebody, and by the way, I want to say this, and I mean this sincerely. I believe that God supernaturally moved on the heart of Donald Trump, and I believe he is a believer. See, he wouldn't have put up with what he put up with without that. But he's flawed. How many of you know I'm flawed? Man, ask most of the Christian community if Mark Browning's flawed. They'll give you a whole good expose on that. But his weakness is he's not humble enough. And they're going to take that lack of humility and turn it against him. But I think and I pray that they've gone so far to the left with extremism that the soccer moms want to get back to some normalcy and they'll vote for people like the guy from Virginia, King Youngkin, what was his name? Glenn Youngkin. And listen, God supernaturally told him as he was walking on the beach in Virginia, God supernaturally told him to run for office. That's who I want. That's who I want. I believe if I wasn't 63 years of age, I believe I might run for something. I'm serious, but I think I can do more good doing what I'm doing now and having the platform I have now and just helping people get elected that believe in conservative Christian values. Amen? Man, don't get complacent. Don't take it for granted and uphold your God-given right to vote and vote for somebody that's going to uphold the morality and the principles that God says need to be upheld in order for His blessing to be extended to us. Amen. Glory be to God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's stand up on our feet. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So it's a discussion of Roe v. Wade being overturned as the sermon title. Lord, we just want to rejoice and thank you that Roe v. Wade has been overturned in Jesus' holy name. Lord, I want to pray this morning. What I want to do is I want to pray for ladies out there that don't understand why we're excited about that. We're excited about that because we have, for all these years, we've been out to protect the sanctity of human life and to protect the life of the unborn. But I want all the ladies out there to know that we love you, that we appreciate you, that we know that it's your responsibility to bring the child out, to bring the child. It's even mentioned in the scriptures that the man is the head, but the man comes through the woman. See, God made us all interconnected. And so what I want everybody to understand is that God loves us. And God wants everybody to live productive, happy lives, but He wants us to do it in a way that brings glory to Him. And so I just pray that you would ask God to show you and grant you the wisdom you need to understand that what's happening in your body is a miracle. It's a life. And every life deserves to be lived. Every life deserves to be lived. Holy Spirit, I hope that people can understand that. I want to pray for all of us that are on the side of life. I want to pray that we maintain our Christian principles, our Christian dignity, our Christian values, and we promote what's happened in our world and show that Jesus is on the inside of us, and we're not going to cause violence and we're not going to be angry. But we're going to humbly receive the grace of God that came to us through this great ruling. And Lord, we pray for the protection of our Supreme Court justices. We ask, Lord, that no harm would come near them. We ask that your angels would protect them. And we thank you, Lord, that they had the courage of their conviction to be able to vote the right way, because abortion was never meant to be a federal law anyway. Every true jurist knows that, in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor. We thank you that even though we're in the world, we're not of the world, and we're able to look past what we see in the natural and understand that what we don't see with our physical eyes, we see in our spirit, and we know that you are the Almighty God that created all things, and we will honor you as long as there's breath in our body. In the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We'll see you back here on Zoom on July the 10th.